This is Rachel Dobson, and 2 weeks ago, a week ago, last Monday night a week ago, her husband called and said, would you come pray for her? And what he told me was that she was in great pain, she wasn't walking well, she'd been given a diagnosis of a bone chip floating in her knee, possible torn cartilage.
I'm not very good on, I don't know any medical term. What's the cushion that's called?
The cartilage, the meniscus.
The meniscus, and a torn meniscus.
Okay. And so she had this scheduled last week, but it was postponed until yesterday. She went over to Columbus to see the orthopedic guy, and he said?
They did an MRI. There was nothing wrong with my knee. There was no floating bone or floating cartilage, and he just gave me some exercises to do to strengthen my quads and told me to stretch my calves, and I'm walking great. And this is actually the second healing that God has worked through Minton to help me with. I also was diagnosed with something, I can't remember the name of it, I've forgotten it now, where I had an exorbitant amount of white blood cells, and they sent me to an oncologist, and all these tests. I had a, what is it called when they take a sample of your bone marrow?
I don't know. A biopsy?
They biopsied the bone. And Minton prayed with me about it, and I was supposed to go through more tests, and I just wouldn't do it. I just prayed about it. And then went back for my physical, and he was reading it, and I was like, oh, I know you're going to say something about my blood count. And he goes, your blood count's perfect. And there's no cure for that disease. There was absolutely no cure for the disease. You couldn't change your diet. You couldn't take medication. There was nothing you could do for him. But
and I had forgotten.
Worked through Minton, and two miracles for me.
And I had forgotten about that.
Had you forgotten about that? Yeah.
Well, if he'll do it for Rachel, he'll do it for you. And if he'll use me to pray for somebody, then he will use you, and you'll get the same results. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. We've got another one that we want to share, but I'm going to let Tricia do it some other time because I want to get straight into it. Trey said he used some of the verses I'm going to use today. When I saw that verse in his Bible, I said, are you going to use that? And he said, yeah. I said, are you going to use the one that you've written under it? He said, no, what is it? And I said, never mind, I'm going to use it today. And it is amazing how the Lord has worked with both he and Robert. And as I've melded into some of the teaching, how things that we teach build on each other so often. And I think that's going to be the case today because we're going to open with 2 Peter 1. And this is one of the verses he used last night in talking about participating in the blessing. 2 Peter verse 1. Excuse me, 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to start in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, that's a mouthful. I don't know about you, but there's a couple of verses that talk about more grace and grace being multiplied. And I want all the grace I can get, okay? If he just wants to dump it like the latter-day rain, let it rain. And so how does this come? In the knowledge, and that's what we're here for. And so I don't want you in the knowledge of God. I don't want you just to think you're coming here just to hear somebody talk. I want you not to hear me, but I want you to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you for your situation, because I can't help you, but the Spirit in me can, and he can have me talk, and you pick up what you need. He goes on and says in verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted or given. Now that word there means to bestow gratuitously. Seeing that his divine power has granted or given. And what is gratuitously? That's taken off on what? Grace. So it's still the same thing that we're talking about. And he says he's granted to us everything pertaining to life in godliness. Now in verse 4, he picks up and he says, for by these he has granted, there's that word again, and I'm reading New American Standard, and we may go back and forth between some of these today. He has granted to us precious and magnificent promises. You got a whole book full of them. And we need to know those. But look what he says, in order that you might become partakers. Now the word partakers really hit me, because to be a partaker of something, I've got to be willing to do something to be involved in it, to benefit from it. And that's really what we want to begin to talk about today. Now I want you to look at Ephesians 2. We're going to give a bunch of scripture here first, just to kind of set the tone for where we're going for today, and probably several more when my time comes around again. In Ephesians 2nd chapter, verses 8 and 9, says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, that no one should boast. So the grace that we get is not because we've done anything to earn it, and it's our pay for earning it. It is a gift for which we do nothing to merit. It's being granted or given to us. We'll talk about what we do in this next verse. And so it's not earned, but let me say it this way. Grace is something that is offered to us. And that's a key word. We'll say several times during this, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and Jesus are all gentlemen. They will not force things. So this is offered to us. Now I want you to go to 1 John 3:22. 1 John 3rd chapter, the 22nd verse. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. We receive from Him. What I want to begin to talk about today, and I believe this is certainly at the instruction of the Lord, is receiving from Him. It is offered. I could tell Shannon, and I'll set her up by saying, don't take it, okay? Shannon, I'm going to give you my Bible. It's a good Bible. It's got lots of notes in it. You can hardly read the writing for all my notes. So it's a great reference for you. You can have it. It's yours. But if she never, what, reaches out and takes it, then she never possesses it. Everything that we get from God must be received. Everything we get from God. Now the word receive is a Greek word, lambano, which means to take or to get hold of. So that says to me, God has made it available. That is a finished work. How much of it is finished? All of it is finished. What we are talking about today in healing applies to receiving the finances, receiving peace, receiving a number of things. And we're going to look at some scriptures that show that. So today I really want us to have that mindset of I'm going to receive. And let me just read this to you. In fact, let me pray this over us. Ephesians 1, 18. Today, Lord, I'm asking You, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that You would give to us today a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened so that we may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in us, the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power in and toward us who believe. And Father, I thank You that we just read, when we ask, we receive. So we receive that right now. Now, let me give you some examples. Salvation. First, look at Big John, since we were in Little John. 20. 21st verse. Jesus has walked through the wall. And he's standing there with his disciples after he's arisen. In 21, he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So he breathed on them, but what's he telling them to do? To take it in, to get a hold of it. What would have happened if one of the disciples said, "Don't want it"? He wouldn't have been born again at this time. He wouldn't have received that Spirit. So we play a role in this. In John, the first chapter, the 12th verse. And I just want to set a foundation for you that everything we get from God, we've got to receive. In the 12th verse, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." So part of receiving here we see is believing. And you'll see that tied together several times as we go through today. So once we're born again, what's the next thing that ought to happen to us? Acts 8. A good example there of receiving the Holy Spirit. And let's see, 17th verse. They've gone to an area, and Simon, a sorcerer, is there, and he's watching all this. And they begin, in verse 17, laying their hands on them, and they were what? Receiving or received the Holy Spirit. You know, I had the opportunity, a gentleman came up to me, two Sundays ago, as I was sitting over here after the service was over, and he started telling me, "I've got this going on, I need this, I got this." And the Lord said, "Ask him, is he baptized in the Holy Spirit?" He said, "No." So I said, "Okay, this Lord says that's what you need." So I laid my hands on him, and I didn't ask the Lord to give him the Holy Spirit because he's already been given. But I just prayed and declared his receiving it. And at first, he just stood there. There was no evidence that anything had happened. And I told him, I said, "Look, the Lord's a gentleman. The scripture says when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you begin to speak." And I said, "It's not the Holy Spirit speaking, it's your voice." And so, why am I telling you this? Because for him to truly receive it, he had to begin to act on what he believed had happened. And once he opened his mouth, it just flowed and flowed and flowed. So receiving definitely involves us doing some things. teaching. Turn to Jeremiah 32. And we'll look in the Old Testament at the 33rd verse of Jeremiah 32. How many times have you been with someone in church or even in a Bible study or in different places and you both hear the same thing and one goes out and their life is changed and the other goes out and somebody says, "How was it?" "It's okay." And they may even say, "Well, I already knew what he taught today." What happened? One received, one did not. This is a good scripture that talks about it. "And they turned to me." This is him prophesying about some things the Lord was saying to him. "They have turned to me the back." So in other words, they turned away from him. "And not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them. Yet they have not listened to" do what? "To receive instruction." So what I want you to see today is you can hear a teaching, But for you to receive instruction, you've got to begin to hear with your spiritual ears. And so this is it, you're seeing here that salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit, knowledge. Jesus in Matthew 19, 12th verse. Just at the very end of that, he's talking about some things that were said, and he said, he who is able to accept it, and some translations say receive, he who was able to accept it or receive it, let him accept it. Now, this is not the same word lambano. This is another word. And this word literally means give space to, allow to enter. And the reason we're doing all these is because you're seeing, getting a glimpse of things that we need to do in order to be able to receive both the word and what that promise is telling us. Same chapter, verse 29. Another one that Trey used last night. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake shall do what? Receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. Now, Trey used the verse listed in another gospel, which adds on at the end with persecution. And the reason that persecution is there is because when you start living this, people are going to think you've lost it. Because you're going to begin to look at things, and this is the first time I'll say it, probably several. You're going to be able to begin to look at things not with physical eyes, but you're going to see in the spiritual eyes and look at more eternal things, spirit things, than you do the physical things. And then finally, Luke 18, the 42nd verse. And we will talk more about this verse the next time I teach, because it's going to it has a really special meaning. Verse 41 in this, if you'll back up one, if you can do that easily. If not, I'll just read it. The man comes to Jesus, and Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Okay? And look what Jesus said to him. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. What did he do? He went up and took what he knew Jesus was offering. He took hold of it. Let me just tell you this, and then again we'll cover it later on. In the Greek language, do you know what Jesus actually said to him for that word receive there? Look up. And we'll talk about here today what we look at. And I would tell you, this man saw himself seeing before he saw. He looked up and saw himself seeing, and then he saw. And I'll explain that a little later. So what I see today is that too many of us, this is not a message of talking down to somebody. Because I'm right there with you. The same problems that you experience, I do. I don't get a special grace for living it just because I stand up front and teach it. We have to do the same things that you do. We're faced with the same temptations that you are. But there are too many of us today waiting on God to heal us instead of going out and taking what he has already offered, what was finished with his death and his resurrection. It is finished. It's there for our taking. So, a lot of people, as I've had opportunities to pray for healing for people during the past, really since the fall of 2007, is when things changed for me. But I have so many people saying, I want it, I want it, I want it. But they'd never grasp this vision of it's there for the taking. I heard Bill Johnson say one time that you don't need to pray for anything that's contained in a promise to you. You can just go and take it. And I think there's a lot of truth of that. The other thing I've seen is people start saying, well, what's keeping me from receiving? When we'll talk about it with them. Why can't I receive? What's going on? And so a lot of questions pile up. I'll tell you another thing, and so don't be surprised if you come for prayer, and as I start to pray, and you start to pray, I look at you and I say, don't pray.
Right.
Quit praying. If you're praying, you're asking for something. Instead of doing what? Receiving something. So we see a lot of this. And so what the Lord told me is about this teaching is to let's revisit what my word says about receiving healing. And so that's what we're going to do. And he gave me a starting point, and it's Proverbs 4. And as you're turning there, I will say to you that how many months ago, Trey? 16, 18 months we started this? A long time. This is the scripture that Trey used when he kicked off healing school. And I thought it was interesting as I pondered that and remembered it, that this is where he takes us to begin talk about healing. Okay, Proverbs 4, verse 20. Now, you're going to see the New King James, and there's a couple of times I'm going to read what's in my New American Standard because it just gives a little clearer indication. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Now, let's just stop there. Let's just talk about each verse as we go through it. So if you'll back up. My son, give attention. Some translations say attend, or give heed to, or hearken to. Now, that requires something on your part. It requires it physically, because how many conversations do we have today, and I'm not going to look at my wife while I'm saying this, that we're not going back and forth, and we're not communicating. She's talking, but I'm not paying attention. See, I told you. So it happens physically, but it also happens spiritually. And it happens spiritually when we're thinking as, what are we doing afterwards? We're going to eat. And so you're thinking, what am I going to order at Steve's? You've got to focus your attention. Now, some of you are laughing. Is that because you were thinking, what am I going to order at Steve's? Okay. And so it requires us to do something. Grace is free, but maturing in the Lord requires an investment or some expenditure of effort on your part. And then look what it says, incline your ear to my sayings. Now, I can still see Trey giving that example of how a dog cocks his head when he taught this one those many months ago. And that's what that little dog's doing, isn't he? He just turns his head so he can hear better. So what is that saying too? Incline your ear. The verse I thought about was press in Philippians, where Paul says, press in toward the mark of the high calling. And so I went and looked it up. And the word press there, let me find it, is the word diakonos, which means to be a waiter or to serve. So when this is saying, incline your ear to my saying, you've got to give attention to it. What does a good waiter do? He's listening to everything you say. He's knowing, he's anticipating your needs and what's coming. All right, let's do 21 now. Do not let them depart from your sight. Now that to me implies this is a continual process. No, it does not mean that every day you walk around, you don't, or drive, that you're not doing this. And I do driving because of texting. Don't do it. That's Never mind, I won't go there. Do not let them depart from your sight. So it's a continual process. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now that says several things to me. Keep them in the midst of your heart. If they are not in the midst of my heart, what is? And that's part of the way I keep them in my midst of my heart, because I'm continually looking at it. It's in the notes for later, but I'll say it now. What you look at, you make room for. What you make room for, you give power to. Now, does this mean that I can't look at the Masters golf tournament on Sunday afternoon a couple of weeks ago? No. I hear a resounding agreement with that, my statement there. But what does it mean? It means that if all I ever looked at was things related to golf or sports or anything else you want to pick to, then that is building up inside me. So we need to be careful, and this gives us a clue of what we look at. Then verse 22 goes on and says, if we've given attention, if we've inclined our ear, if we've not let them depart, if we're keeping them in the midst of our heart, it says what? They are life to those who find them, and their health to their body, the entirety of it. Now, what the Lord is wanting to talk to us about this morning is what this next verse says about guarding our heart. And let's go ahead and read it, and then we'll back up and talk about 22. Watch over, guard, same word, your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now go back to 22 if you would for me. For they are life. Now when we think about life as this living word describes it, what kind of life should we think of? Not the kind of physical life that I'm living here today. Zoe. The God kind of life. The God kind of life is contained in His words. And when we find them, those words that contain the life of God in them will bring health to our body. Now, on to 23. Therefore, guard your heart. Guard. This is the same word that is used to Adam when he said, keep the garden. Guard it. If Adam had been doing a good job of keeping and guarding, and don't you criticize him, because we got to answer, do we keep our garden? If he'd been doing a good job, then when the devil came in disguised and started speaking to Eve, he'd have stepped in and said, nope. You're not allowed here. This is my garden. This is the diligence that we've got to have. What do we see? What do we learn from this? Little lapses have big impact.
He does that.
Now, don't start thinking, well, my gosh, I've made so many, I may not recover. No. Everyone, even what Adam did, there was a recovery plan for it. And for you, it's a matter of turning and receiving forgiveness and receiving instruction and going on. So watch over with your heart with all diligence, for from it. All right, where is the life of God in you? In your heart. Now, what do I mean by heart? Some people have made heart a really hard thing to understand, because you see heart used one time and it means blood pump. You see heart used another time, it means spirit. And I believe that a lot of times, heart means a combination of spirit and soul. That where your life is lived. that area where your life is lived. And what does the word tell us about heart and soul? I mean, about spirit and soul. There's only one thing that can divide it. That's the word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword. And so that tells me that there is a vital connection between your spirit and your soul. And what Trey is about to begin teaching, based on what he sent us in the letter, in the email this week, is about dealing with that soulish part and the thoughts up here. And as we were chatting about it recently, one of the things that we both believe is the devil's fight with you is right here. All these other things that are happening to us, including our physical body, are distractions to keep this from working properly, because this is involved in doing what this says, guarding your heart. And I'll let him explain how that happens and what we do about it. So, the point I want to make is, in my heart is the life of God via His Spirit that has been gifted to me. And in my heart, from my heart, flows the springs of life. From my heart flows healing to my whole body. When you look up the word, when you look up and study the word heart in the scripture, I don't know, I quit counting. There are so many descriptions of the condition of our heart. Let me just read you a few of them. A pure heart, a doubtful heart, a steadfast heart, a troubled heart, an established heart, a deceived heart, a perfect heart, an evil heart, a tender heart, a hard heart, a wise heart, a humbled heart, a condemned heart. Now, why am I reading these? It's because things that we let in this battle that he's going to be teaching about impact our heart. And the most common example we used is that hardened heart, where we know there's some things in there, but nothing seems to flow out because there's some things that seem to press it down, keep it suppressed, not allow it to flow as springs do. And we know it's supposed to come out easily. What did Jesus say to the woman at the well? If you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for water. And this water I'd give you would do what? You'd never get thirsty, but it would what? Spring up. That's what life does. And then once we receive the baptism, it's not just a trickle from a spring. It's rivers flowing out of us, that life. And I say that to say, that ought to be our natural state. That ought to be what's happening to us. But I'm just going to tell you, I'm not quite seeing it flowing in the manner I want it to today for me to receive or me to minister it. And so this tells us, guard our heart. Let me read you a couple of other translations. Complete Jewish Bible says, above everything else. Now that says to me, it's got to be at the top of your priority list. Yeah, but I want to look at, guard your heart.
That's right.
I'm not telling you don't look at it, but if you sense that a battle is brewing and you yield to go look at something else, then what have you done? You've given room, you've paid attention to it, you've taken it in, and you're beginning to give it power. The Jewish Publication Society says, above all that you guard, keep your heart. So I would say for us, the main thing is to keep our heart, and we need to make the main thing our main thing. Amplified says, keep and guard it with all vigilance. That means to me, I've got to be constant about it. I don't want to lapse and lay it down. The Message, and I'm not the biggest fan of The Message, but this one is good. Keep vigilant. Watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Now, I won't say it starts there, because your heart in and of itself doesn't start any life. But the life that lives in this temple that you and I have, this Holy of Holies that dwells in us, where the Holy Spirit dwells, that's where life starts. And so we have that life in our bodies. 3 John 2. I just want to use this to just reemphasize the proportional relationship, as Trey mentioned in the introduction. And I'm going to say basically the same things he said about this verse. And I start with verse 1. He's writing to the elder, the beloved Gaius, who he loves in truth. And then he says, beloved. And I can take that as he's writing to Minton, the beloved one that he loves in truth. And you ought to be able to make it that personal too. Beloved, I pray in all respects, or in all things, other translations say, that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers. So that connotation that he talked about related to finances and health, it is a proportional thing. For us to prosper physically in our bodies, mentally, perform in this world, if we are prospering inside, then the things that we will be able to do are going to be far exceeded as when we're downcast and worried and beat down inside. Guard your heart above all things. Somebody here is just thinking, I can't be perfect. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 15. We'll take a little detour. In 2 Chronicles 15, it's an account of when Asa was king. And he told him some things to do. And Asa and his people made a covenant with God. And basically, they promised to follow him with their whole heart. And they did. And verse 15 of that chapter says, so the Lord gave them rest on every side. Now the Lord also told him, in doing the things of the Lord, to get rid of some of the things that were not of the Lord, like the idols that were in the high places. And he didn't do that. And part of the problem he had with that was the queen's mother had brought all those high places in there. But I want you to look at verse 17. Because he had a right heart, even though the high places were not removed, how did the Lord see Asa's heart? As blameless. That says to me, the Lord is more interested in what's in your heart than how you might manifest it in some action. Now you say, yeah, but I need to. Go to chapter 25, and I'll have to look up the verse. Second verse. This is talking about Amaziah. And he became king when he was 25 years old and reigned for 29 years. And in verse 2, it says, he did right in the sight of the Lord. He was just, I want to do. But yet, what does this say? It was not with that whole heart. We can do the right things, but if we're not doing them out of that life that's flowing out of our heart with God's love, with His compassion, concern for others, instead of, I want to do this because it makes me look good, then this is not pleasing to the Lord. And if you'll look over in verse 9 of that same chapter, and I'll just read it from the screen. Is it 9? Nope. It's not. Must be in a different chapter. In this same chapter, or in this same book, it's where it says that God is looking over the earth to and fro. 16:9. To see who He might what? Bless. And look what He's looking for. Strongly support those whose heart is completely His. These are just additional reasons why we got to guard our heart. And don't get on a witch hunt looking for yourself and condemning yourself of, I'm not doing the right things. Deal with the heart and the right things will flow out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I like to say it runs off. And some of the time the running off it does is not godly. And what does that scripture tell us? It's not godly because we haven't put godly things in it. Guard your heart. The quickest way to tell a condition, the condition of someone's heart, is to listen to them. And again, I don't want this to minister condemnation. The word says the sweetness of lips improves learning. So take this the way I intended. There are a lot of people who, when they come to ask for prayer, you know that if they're going to get results, it's got to be wholly on your faith or gift of the Holy Spirit, because their heart isn't right. And we've got to learn to deal with our heart. Now, I'm not saying that we all have problems. We all got different problems, but don't view yourself as being irrevocable from that. One other scripture, Proverbs 14. The 30th verse. Can you show that in King James or New King James, either one? Is that easy to do? My New American Standard says a tranquil heart. And tranquility to me is an attribute of a sound heart. You remember what salvation means in the New Testament? Sozo, wholeness, soundness, completeness. A sound heart, a complete heart, is what? Life to the body. But envy, and there's talk in the scripture of a heart that envies, or an envying heart, is what? Rottenness to the bones. Now, why is that? I mean, envy's not good by any means, but how does it get to rottenness to the bones? Because it blocks the life flowing out of your spirit where life lives. Go back to Proverbs 4, and we'll close with this one. In Proverbs 4, and this is where we're starting today. First verse. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. Give attention that you may gain understanding or know understanding. Second verse. For I give you sound teaching or sound doctrine. The word there for teaching or doctrine is literally in the Hebrew something received. So, what is unsound doctrine? Things that you have received that aren't true. How about experiences? Can they be unsound doctrine that we receive? So are we going to take the word down to the level of our experiences? Or are we going to set our face to trying to bring our experiences up to what the word says? I think that's what we want to do. It goes on and says, verse 5, and I'm skipping for time's sake. Acquire wisdom, or get wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Next verse. Do not forsake her. Now, what is he talking about? Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the knowledge we get and mixed with the understanding the Holy Spirit gives us. And it's that that enables us to act on or use what we've learned. Where does that come? To our brain or to our spirit? It's got to come from in here. For every breakthrough you have in life spiritually, be it revelation, and I just said what I'm going to say, be it healing, for every breakthrough there first has to be a revelation. And what is that? That you know, that you know, that you know. For every breakthrough there's got to be that. And then when you get that, look at what this says. Don't forsake her. She will go, and that word preserve is the same word guard that we've been talking about. And then finally, look at verse 13. Now sometimes instruction, take hold, firm hold of instruction, involves correction. But we know that Scripture is given for a number of things, and instruction in righteousness and correction is in reproof for some of them. And so when you mess up, don't go looking for ducking, thinking God's going to hit you with a stick. The instruction, the correction is going to come through this word that we're looking at. Do not let go. Keep her. Keep. Same word there for guard. So what is it that's going to put us in a position to have our heart guarded? A constant view of keeping the word first. And then what we'll begin to do in the next times, I believe, is talk about how we apply some of this in the way that Jesus worked and the way he ministered. So for today, let's just close our eyes and wait on the Lord a minute. And Trey or Robert, if you have anything, please feel free to share it. Father, we've heard your word today with our physical ears, and I believe we've heard it with our spiritual ears. And right now, by an act of our speaking, we say, we take what we heard, and we receive it into our spirit. And we thank you, Father, that that word will provide, out of that word will flow life to my whole body. Now, if you came in here today, mind cluttered, everything going on, and you can make that profession that I just said, then you've got a breakthrough. You're in a position where you can receive healing in your body today.
And I want to encourage us with something else this morning in terms of receiving from the Lord. Something I actually, interestingly enough, got this morning during our prayer time before the service. Is that when that scripture says in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. The Lord showed me this morning while we were praying that the Lord's never going to tell us to do something that He's not first willing and already actually doing. So when He tells us, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings and keep them in the midst of your heart, don't let them depart from your eyes, we must first be persuaded that we have a heavenly Father that calls you and I son and daughter. And He says, listen, because I love you, I want you to know I'm giving attention to your words. I'm inclining my ear to your sayings. So when we cry out to Him, when we pray to Him, we've got to know we got a Father that's not trying to make it hard on us to get those prayers through. He's actually putting Himself in the best position He can, like that dog, to cock his ears and say, I really want to hear you. And He does not let you depart from His eyes.
Amen.
He's always watching you. Amen. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Amen. So He's always looking for you. He's always listening for you. And listen to this. He keeps you in the midst of His heart. That's the place you have with Him. So what alleviates us and enables us to receive from Him better is to know He's already received us. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? So when you see that, that love then frees you then to receive from Him better, because you know He's already received you. This is the grace of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. You got a way you want to do the altar call today?
No, I was just going to have them come up to,
absolutely,
to folks. So with Shannon and Robert and Trey, if he stays here, or catch him out there, if you have need in your body and you want somebody to agree with you, then as you come, come knowing that the word you heard today produces life that rises up from inside you. Let me share this real quick. In talking about the Holy Spirit, this phrase has just captivated me for several years now. You know, Joel said, the book of Joel, the Lord said, I will pour out my Spirit on all men. But Peter says something just a tad different in Acts 2, in verse 17. He says, and it shall be in the last days that I will pour out of my Spirit. I want you to see today that that's where that life is coming. That the Spirit of God is pouring out of His Spirit life. You're in union with Him. So where's that life flowing? To your spirit. And because it flows out of your spirit and springs up, where is it going? It's going in to your soulish realm, which is how your spirit man communicates with your flesh. And when it gets to that soulish realm, then it's going to be, because you're in union, unity. And when things are in unity, what does Psalm 133 say? It's like the oil being poured over Aaron's head. It's going to start here and it's going to flow all the way down. So it doesn't matter what's the matter with you. Life is being poured out in your spirit, and it will permeate your whole body. So come and get it. Come and take hold of it. Come and receive it today.